Yes, people, welcome back to Beyond the Bench, where we take you behind the scenes of football. We bring a wide variety of guests from the game and explore stories they must tell, from the realities of academy football to mental health struggles, diversity and women's representation in the sport. Beyond the Bench is all about going beyond the surface.
With all that said and done, I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Carlos, Jermaine and Ethan. How are we all doing?
Great, thank you. How are you?
We're doing great.
So how was everyone's morning?
Yeah, not too bad.
What did you all have for breakfast?
Nothing really.
No breakfast for me.
What about you, Ethan?
I went for a Tesco meal deal. I got the 3 breakfast sandwich, as I think it's part of the best deal, and then I got a packet of Chili Heatwave Doritos and a Lucozade Sport. Mm. It was great.
So I want to make a quick thing. So we have Ethan, our guest. How are you, Ethan?
I'm not bad, guys. How's everyone?
And then we've got Ethan, the co-host. So I'm going to have to call you Eth, co-host.
Right,
and then
okay.
I'm going to have to call you Ethan. But I want to get on to you two, because why didn't you two have breakfast this morning?
Not on the budget, mate.
Not on the budget.
Just didn't feel hungry, to be honest.
Okay. So how are you doing, Ethan?
I'm doing great, by the grace.
I want to say thank you for coming on, and it means a lot. So I want you to start, from the beginning of your football career. So, how did it all start, and when did you first, start kicking a ball?
The first time I started kicking the ball was obviously in the house.
Mm.
I must How have old? Probably 5, 6. I must have started breaking stuff in the house, and my mum got annoyed, so she said, let's go and find a team to play. So obviously, I think it was a Sunday league club. It was Dagenham. It was called Dagenham United.
Mm.
And obviously it was some trial day, and then there happened to be a scout. I think it was a Chelsea scout there on that day, and then I got scouted to go and play for Chelsea's development, and to be honest, that's where it all started off.
And how old were you at that point?
Yeah, about 7.
7. And then what happened after Chelsea development, and what happened inside that Chelsea development team?
I think I was just there for a summer, just during the summer. I played, and then I got scouted by Leyton Orient and Southend.
Mm.
And then I was training with Leyton Orient for a while, and I was training with Southend, because at that age you can do that. So I was just training with both of them. And then I got offered a contract by both. And then my mom we just decided to take Southend, to be honest. Yeah.
Do you feel like that sort of age, 7 or 8, is a bit of a dangerous age for these clubs to sort of begin approaching you? Because at that age, you know, it's a bit pie in the sky, academy football. And, you know, you can really have your feelings hurt and stuff like that. Do you think that's a bit too young for them to start focusing on sort of that kind of thing?
I think it's 50-50. Because at the same time, to get noticed by that club at that young age, it really excites you, innit? Because you think, rah, I'm actually good at football. To get that acknowledgement, it's actually good. But at the same time, for example, if you do get rejected, of course it's going to hurt kids. But I think at that age, we don't really understand how big football is. So you may just be playing, and if you get rejected, it's I'm just going to go play somewhere else. So it weren't that, the thought of being rejected wasn't really on my head, to be honest.
And for Chelsea development, what were you doing in the training camps at 7 years old? What do they get a 7-year-old doing at training?
Most of the time you're just playing games. They'll do little drills, but not stuff so complicated for your brain. Mm. Most of the time you go there and start kicking a ball, play matches. The most important thing, I think, is just to have fun at that age.
And are they mixing you in different positions? Are you playing up front, and are you playing in centre back, or are you playing in just one position?
I wouldn't go as far as defence, nah. Mm. Anywhere along the front three, or not even front three, because at that age just playing 5-a-side. So it's anywhere in attack, then yeah. But at that age, there's not really formations. Guys are just running around kicking the ball.
Yeah.
Just doing one.
At 7 years old, was there someone you were looking up to and you were trying to copy, either in real life or even on on a large scale?
Yeah, you had the Ronaldos, Neymars, mainly Neymar and Hazard. Those were the two that.
Neymar and Hazard. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah,
19.
What year was this?
7. 2012.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2013, them times.
And so what happened after the Chelsea development?
I went on trial at Leyton Orient and Southend, and then I was just training with both of them until it came to a time where they had to offer you contracts. Because I think now kids can get offered contracts at under 6s, but back then it was just, I think it was under eights. That's when you get contracts. So before, you could just train. I was just training with both of them like every day, and then, yeah. And then when it got time to pick who I wanted to sign for, just pick Southend.
So how long did you play for Southend for?
2 years.
2 years. So you must have been from like, was it eight or seven?
Yeah, it was like 8, 9 to 11. Yeah.
And then what happened when you got to 11?
I must have been, so at Southend we were playing. Obviously I was playing. And we must have played Tottenham like 2, 3 or 4 times. And they must have offered to buy me. But Southend didn't tell us.
But with like actual like cash?
Yeah.
Weren't you like 11?
No, you could.
But Tottenham Hotspur?
Yeah.
Fierce. That's big.
They offered to buy me. Southend didn't let us know. So when it, because like at that age you renew your contract every year.
Yeah.
So it's like
a rolling contract.
Yeah, so like every year it's like it's at 9 and it goes to 10, you renew your contract again. So when it came to the meetings to renew your contract, it was like, I didn't say, I was enjoying myself. So I just said, yeah, like, signed the contract. When we was, when I got to 11, like, during that season, we went to play Tottenham again. And then one of my, like, my mum was friends with one of the guys at Tottenham, and he was saying to us, like, oh, like, why didn't you sign it? Like, why did you reject it? And my mum was confused.
He never had any clue.
We had no clue. Yeah,
wild.
So,
like,
so do you blame Southend for that?
Yeah, because it's obviously it's like they want to keep their player, isn't it? Because like, because I was good at football, but it's like you still have to let me know because I wouldn't have went. Let's be
true. But did you understand what was going on at the time?
Because like, they didn't tell us.
Yeah. And how did you feel about that?
I was kind of burnt by it because it's Tottenham, isn't it?
Yeah,
100%. Well, something like Tottenham was a big club
at that age. Like, obviously, you're not gonna be as emotional about it as you would be like if that happened now. So, like, say if you were playing for Southend and now, and all of a sudden you sign a new contract, and then some guys come up to you from Tottenham and gone, why did you reject? You'd be fuming, wouldn't you? But obviously, at that age, you don't really understand. I guess you problem is at that age, you see the name Tottenham and you think, oh my, that's amazing. But then it must have just been heartbreaking, I assume. I assume it was like really. What did it do in terms of you playing? Did it sort of affect you like on the pitch, do you think?
Nah, it didn't really. But it just was like, I think my mum, even though my mum didn't really understand football at that time, she was just taking me. But especially for her not to understand football, just to hear the word Tottenham and then hear that they didn't tell us, she was 100% hurt by it. So like, leaving Southend wasn't really my decision. It was more of my mum. So then, like, by that time we left, obviously we left, Southend still had, like, they put, it's called a YD10. So, like, basically, whatever club I go to from there, they have to buy me.
So you were about 11 years old. What happened after that? And did you ever get a chance to go to Tottenham and be like, yeah, like, we can still join, we still have to, like, find
Nah, like, so after 11, I just went back to playing, like, it was like, I went to some team called Crown Pro Elite. It's like, it wasn't Sunday League, but it was more of like a showcase team. So it's like, you play good quality, like, teams, good quality showcase teams, or you play academies, like, stuff like that. So I didn't go back into academy football. I was just playing, like football, but, like, at a very good level, just not academy football. But, yeah, like...
Where was this? Was this in London?
Yeah, this is still in London.
Okay, okay.
So, like... The only thing that, so from there I would get trials, like I went on trial at Norwich, I went back at trial at Tottenham, I went on trial at Arsenal, I went on trial Wimbledon, I went trial loads of places. But the fact that I had a price on me was, he's good, but I don't know if we want to pay.
Yeah.
Do you get
it?
So then that's when it started to take an effect on me. Like,
do you ever like it's kind of deep, do you ever just sit there some nights and be like, I could have played for Arsenal?
Yeah. Maybe, nah. Yeah, nah, I don't actually.
No, surely there must be one time in your life you sat there and you're like, hold on, I could have been playing for Norwich, could have been playing for Arsenal.
Yeah, maybe a couple years ago, but now, like, I don't really think about it too tough.
What are you thinking about now? Like, not right now, but like, what goes through your thoughts?
I just want to play football, I'll be so real. Like, it don't even have to be at a high level, I just want to play football, to be honest.
So the love's still there then?
Yeah, like, it died, but it's come back.
That's good.
You eventually moved on to Sheffield United, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, like, 12, 13, we moved up. We moved to Bradford first, because my mum just had enough of London. Nothing to do with football, just had enough of London. And then, so, obviously, the guy, he still had links this far to Sheffield United. So, obviously, I've gone to Sheffield United, but based off his words and by the grace of God, they signed me. Like, they didn't even see me kick a ball.
Damn.
Like, yeah.
So straight in there.
They, like, just off his words.
What was that thought like when you were told, oh, they've signed you? You've not even kicked a ball up here yet. And wow. You've been told, you've gone through all these trials, Norwich, Arsenal.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Sheffield United have come in and said, yes, we'll sign you. What did that feel? Did it feel real?
It didn't. I actually didn't even believe it. Like, the first few weeks when I was in training, I was like, wait, am I signed? Like, I just didn't believe. Like, it took me so long to actually believe. Like, this could only be God. Like, I was just playing. Like, I was training. I was just thinking, how did I sign without no one seeing me kick a ball? Mm. Like, does that actually happen?
And when you're training with, like, Sheffield United, how is, like, moving from south to north, how different is it, like, being in that different area, and is, like, the culture different? Like, how are you adjusting to everything?
First, I had to adjust to the accent. Like,
hey, didn't we all?
Yeah, like, honestly, like, understanding what people are saying, or, like, different terms. Like, for example, there was one that was, like, dummy. Like, when you just were playing football, someone would just say dummy, yeah, and they would dummy it. Yeah. But here, they would go, like, overs or others. Like, it took me, like, it took me forever just to understand what, like, thing. But then there was, like, understanding coaches. The guy's talking, I'm just thinking, what is he saying? Like, there was bare stuff. Yeah. And then there's, like, not that it changed, like, the way football was changed, but here, in London, it was more like technical based. Like, everyone wanted to do step overs. Everyone wanted to do rainbow flicks. Like, that was the main thing to, like,
not in Yorkshire.
Yeah, to embarrass people.
I want to get the ball out of my goal. That's all they want to do up here.
Up here, just straight. If we're not playing marathon football, like, just running, or, like, just brutes. You got.
I've got, like, a really serious question, right? So when you're playing with the Northern Ballers. So who's better? Like, if they had a match, who would win? Like, the Northern Ballers or the...
Yeah, where's got the highest level, do you think? Or where do you find it most difficult?
I'm not going to lie, up north. But that's not because, like, London was bad, but because it's way different to the type of football that I like.
They're more into it here, aren't
yeah,
they?
Like, yeah, like, here I had to learn to be physical.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. In those first few weeks, I can imagine it's like a kid going, like, at a lower level, it's like going from, like, under 17s to playing men's football. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've all done it at a lower level, of course. Yeah. But then it's like all of a sudden you're trying to do step overs on the wing in Sunday League and some 40-year-old man comes clattering into you. I assume it's sort of similar in terms of, I bet you got on that pitch, wanted to show what you could do, doing like a little bit of jinky majinky, and all of a sudden I bet some guys just come in and clattered you. Would you say coming up here was humbling in terms of like skill set?
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely humbling. Even like, because I remember like first training sessions, like I've skipped past one person, skipped past another, the next guy has like made me fly in the air.
Yeah.
It gets to a point, like in London it's like you rip someone or you get past someone and someone gets excited, like, ooh! But here, you get past someone,
get him.
Yeah, I feel like it's up here, it's more like the guy that tackles you then gets a, ooh!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The person that does the skill, everyone hates him. Especially like, if you've embarrassed someone on his team, like, if you guys on the team have embarrassed Logan, you will take that personally and want to hit me.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it was just like, they forgot about football. Guys were just trying to play like UFC and that.
But I want to talk also about diversity and inclusion. So when you're like from south and you're moving up to north, do you feel like they're accepting of you, or do you feel like they're like, oh, he's not from around here, he's not one of us, let's get his ankles?
Nah, I didn't really feel that. Like, I feel like I felt more welcomed here than I was in London.
They're really nice up here.
Yeah, like, yeah, I definitely felt more welcome.
I would say people of minority, do you think there's enough inclusion there?
Wouldn't say minority, like black people.
Like black people and Asian people and stuff like that. Yeah.
Just to add something onto that, do you think it's important for maybe to be on merit, or do you think those inclusion policies should be in place? So, for instance, do you think they should just choose regardless of their race, how good they are, and if it happens to be that there's less of a certain ethnic group, then that's just the case? Or do you think there should just be more inclusion policies?
Nah, not really. Maybe, but like, I don't really see it. Like, I just saw it as, if you're good enough, you play in it. Like, I think that's fair.
Was there a time a coach or a player has said something that's quite like,
oh yeah, whoa. But that would go back to like when I was young. Like, I remember one time at Southend, we went to Germany for a tour. Oh, and one guy must have called me the end. I don't know, I'm laughing, but sorry. But he must have called me the N-word, didn't it? And it was like bare random. And then, no joke, the other day I must have been scrolling on Instagram and I saw he made his debut for Southend.
Oh wow. Wait, was this your teammate?
Yeah, no, it was my teammate.
No way.
It was my teammate. But yeah, like, in that time he said it, I was angry for like probably like 5 minutes, and then I got over it, to be honest. But it was just bare random. But I don't know if he said it like because he actually knew the meaning, but it was very young, so it was like,
yeah, yeah.
So I've never like actually experienced racism from a coach. I've heard of stories. Yeah. I wouldn't say that would be a lie if I said I have.
Wow. So how does your career at Sheffield United end?
COVID was what year was we in COVID? Year 10.
Year 10.
Yeah. You guys are young.
I was year 11.
Yeah. I was year working.
10. So.
You was working?
Yeah.
How old are you, bro?
I'm too old.
Flipping hell, mate.
But so what happens like during COVID and like you're 16, your career at Sheffield United's come to an end. What? How does it?
What's it called? So yeah, it was year 10. By the time we've gone back, we just started training again as normal. Like, but then at the start of like in September, I must have like tore my groin. So then I was out for like 2-3 months. But then at that time, that's like scholar decisions. So like, plus based off like coming off COVID, I started being hella lazy as well. So it was like, it just started going down and down. And then I got my groin injury. Then I'm not playing football as well. So then by the time I've come back, my fitness is horrible. And then the scholar decisions are in December. So by that time, it's like halfway through November.
So you did not have a lot of time to try and get yourself looked at. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Don't you think that's a bit of like a social injustice? Like, it's just that point in time. Like, do you feel like right now you could like go into a Sheffield United training centre, train for a bit and like be at that level?
No.
You don't?
No, I haven't played football properly in ages. Like, as much as it's like, yeah, it's unfair, but people are actually good at football.
Don't you think you were good enough at that time, like 15, 16 years old?
Yeah, I was definitely good enough, but to them, there was better. So yeah, that's just football, isn't it? Like, it's not much I can do about it.
It's the same, like I say, with any sport, isn't it? I think once you get to, that crunch time age, and it's like it will be extremely brutal. They will just pick the best of the best.
Yeah, that's true, man. You have to and our age, I'm pretty sure we had 3 scholars.
Yeah, because it was COVID, so they were giving out less scholars, weren't they?
Yeah, actually, I don't even think that. Honestly, maybe, I don't know, I didn't hear that, but I just know our age, like, we had about 16 and only 3 or 4 got scholars. And then it was caught.
So when you don't get a scholar and you have to leave Sheffield United, do you like grow as a person like outside of football? Do you get to know yourself from outside of football? Did you already know yourself?
I think I just started to, like, I think I just stopped trying a bit, I won't lie. Because at that time, I think, so obviously when you're, I don't know if you guys know how like certain clubs work. So there's like Cat 1 clubs, that's like your Chelsea Cities. And then Cat 2 is like Sheffield United's, Wednesdays, clubs like that. And then there's Cat 3 is like Oxford, whatever.
Yeah.
Those type of clubs. So obviously, I was at a Cat 2 club, but then I got offered to go on trial for a scholar at Rochdale and Oldham. But my mum didn't see the emails for like 6-7 months.
Oh, no, yeah. Man. So, like, so you nearly had a gateway to get back into it, yeah.
So then by that time, I didn't go anywhere. So I was like, I don't want to do school. So I just went to a football college. Like, but then by that time, my mind was completely gone from football. Like, and I just like, by that time, like my mental state was probably like down. So I just couldn't be bothered to kick a ball. And by that time, that's when I started, like, my thoughts started going down. Cause it came to the point where I'm playing at football college, but no disrespect, I was better than all of them. So it's like, these guys are crap, like, I don't really want to play them. So I just like, and eventually I got kicked out of the college because my attendance was bad.
Why was your attendance bad?
I still didn't want to go.
So you just gave up?
Yeah.
Was this the point where you were falling out of love with football?
Yeah, it definitely started from there.
So what was your life outside of football?
PlayStation. Food.
So did you just kind of like, was it like the five stages of grief when you were in the stage of kind of like not denial, but like kind of sadness?
Yeah, I think I just, because especially like, I started playing academy football from 8. So I didn't know like how football worked outside of academies. So like all of the non-league stuff, like that was nowhere in my brain. I didn't know anything about it. So once I stopped playing academy football, I just thought, oh crap, there's no other way to make it professionally, in a sense. So playing college football, it's like, this is just crap. So I just said, yeah, man. And then the thoughts of like, yeah, you're not good enough, whatever. Yeah, I just wanted to start going down from there.
And when you started falling out of love with football, did you start feeling bitter towards football? Was there like an anger, like, I was good enough, it's just that at that point I got injured?
No, I don't think I thought that, but maybe it looked like it. Do you get it? Like, I don't remember actually. I wouldn't say that I thought that, no, but I just thought, the thought, me, was just mainly like, maybe football just isn't for me anymore, like, from the amount of no's that I got. So I just said, yeah, let me wrap it up, man. Well, I didn't wrap it up then, but the thoughts of wrapping it up was from there.
And did you talk to anyone about this? Like your mother or anyone? Nah. You didn't tell anyone? So it was just like by yourself and just your thoughts?
Yeah.
So obviously, like, you're not at Sheffield United anymore. What about now? Like, do you still have those aspirations that you can still make it pro, or you just like, nah, not anymore. It's not for me. You're only 19, by the way.
Make it pro, like, in terms of like, actually I can't lie to you, I wouldn't say there's a, like, a disbelief, like, I don't think it's not possible, but I wouldn't say that I aspire to play full-time football. Do you get it? But I don't think it's like impossible.
Not even semi-pro?
No yeah, definitely, yeah. Because that's what I want to do, innit, go back playing that, like, semi-professional football. But I wouldn't say that, actually I would be lying to you if I don't think I could go back and make it professional football. Like, I'd be like, I think that's a lie. I genuinely think I could.
So why don't you try?
I don't know if I have the mental strength,
the mental
for that.
Capacity.
Yeah.
But how do you know if you don't have the mental capacity if you don't try? Because realistically, it all just starts from getting out of bed. Like,
yeah.
And,
yeah,
and then your day goes from there. But like, why don't you start with like 5Ks and then 10Ks? Can you do a 5K?
Yeah.
So can you do a 10K?
I don't know, I ain't trying, that's too much.
So why don't you try to get to that level, and why don't you like try again? Because it all starts from essentially just getting out of bed and starting again.
Mm.
Yeah, but at the same time, football ain't that, like, football's not,
it's not that easy.
Yeah, yeah, like,
nah. Do you enjoy so much it? Goes into it.
Yeah, I enjoy it, but you have to deep that, like, being a footballer, like, everyone sees the nice, the cars, like, all the stuff they have. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, they get crazy money. But at the same time, for how much they play football, they deserve that money. Like, some people don't see their family. Like, Christmas, especially in England, you play football, Christmas Day, the 26th of thingy, you have a game, you live in London, you live, like, say if there's a game in Newcastle, it's like, you don't really see your family.
It's a very unsociable career, isn't
it? Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, do I really want to, like, semi-professional football, yeah, I hear it, because it's like, I'm not playing full time. I don't have to train every day. I don't have to, like, I would still have to stay fit, of course, and that. But like, to play football from Monday to Saturday, training, waking up at 9, all of that stuff, I don't know if my brain wants to do that.
So how often, at your time at Sheffield United, probably under 14s and the 15s, how often did you play football?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we could have a floodlit cup game. Like, say that's like a cup game during the week. Thursday you're in, Friday you're out, Saturday, some under 14s we used to play like a game against a Sunday league team on Saturday and then play on Sunday. So what's that, one day in the week I have free time. And then that would take effect as well, because you're seeing your friends have fun, but you can't beat them because you're playing football. Yes, I love football, but at the same time I'm a kid, like,
I want to have fun. What about diet wise? Did they tell you not to eat certain stuff Like, oh yeah, you can't have burgers and sweets.
Oh
and
yeah,
stuff
they did,
like
but I didn't listen to that, man. Like, I was a kid, I burned it off, innit?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just go eat Matthews after a game.
Big question. If, just to round it all up a bit, if you could go back and do it again, what would you have done differently? There must be some things that you look back on and go, actually, if I did this, maybe this would have happened. Butterfly effect sort of thing.
I definitely would have worked harder. Like, by the grace of God, my talent took me as far as I could have went. But it gets to that point where you actually have to work hard. Like, going away by myself and working hard. Like, in lockdown, I would have ran. Like, I would have trained by myself. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing that I definitely would have done was work hard.
So would you say the whole thing of, like, let your feet do the talking is only half the job?
For certain people. Because some guys are actually so good at kicking the ball that working hard, like, it don't really matter. Like, of course it matters to an extent. Yeah. But for some of us, like, I was good enough that it took me all the way to 16. But they came, it came to a point where I realised, okay, you don't
I
work
need to
hard.
Be fit as well as good on the ball.
You actually need to work hard. Yeah.
So what are you doing now?
What am I doing right now?
Yeah, like are you at uni? Are you
yeah, I'm at uni.
What are you studying at uni?
Sport coaching.
And do you think you'll go into sports coaching or do you really want to go back to football?
Now I'm changing my course, but I'm definitely going to play, what's it called? Like, I'm going to go back to playing football this summer.
What about uni football?
I don't know. I've never didn't try.
Next year?
We'll see what God says, man.
We'll see what God says.
But I always say, like, because I came back to education at a way later age, and I was constantly in my head being like, I don't want to, I can see, like, I was like in my head, oh, I don't want to come back at a later age because you're going to be surrounded by like a bunch of young kids. But what I always say is, like, you don't take two steps back, you take one step forward with experience. So if you ever go back to football, like, you know, you probably have more football IQ than Jermaine, Carlos, me, Ethan.
100%.
Yeah, like, you've been there, you've lived it. So when you're taking that step forward, you're taking it with everything you've learned for the past, what, 11 years?
Yeah.
So it's not just like, oh, I'm starting again, I'm going to have to do all this again, I'm going to have to get my fitness. No, you're doing it all again from experience. You know what you're doing. And that experience cannot be matched.
No, that's actually so true. But it's the fact of, like, going into non-league football is... So it's a ground that I don't know. So it's like way different.
Well, you've mentioned like your mom a couple of times. How thankful are you for your mom? Obviously, like, ever since you've been 8 years old and you're playing football all the way to your, like, 15, like, how thankful are you for your mom for like her support?
Like, when I was younger, I just think, oh, she's putting too much pressure on me. But it's like, at the same time, I just saw it as she saw I had a dream, innit? But like, I was a person that doubted myself a lot, so she just kept pushing me. It seemed like, yo, it was too much, but the more I deeped it was like, I wouldn't have got that far, because she was the one that was taking me places, innit?
Yeah.
So, like, I wouldn't have got that far, so I would always be thankful for her. And that's slightly why I want to go back to playing football. To go back to playing football is just like, my mum was like, because when I made that debut at Scunthorpe, she wasn't there, innit?
Yeah.
So, like, for her to actually see me be on the pitch and, like, that's always been a dream.
Is it sort of, there's a bit in your head that's like, I want to prove to her that all these car journeys were worth it,
yeah,
and that 100%. I still love the game. You want to prove to her that you still love it.
Yeah, 100%. No matter what, I could have made it anywhere, but like, I would never be able to pay her back. But that doesn't mean I don't try and pay her back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, like, all of the stuff that she's definitely done for me, I definitely want to just
So we've got two more topics left, and one of them is actually a trivia. I've got three questions for you about Sheffield United to see how much you know. You ready?
Go on.
So, do you know who the youngest player to play for Sheffield United was?
Anton Hack.
You're close. Actually, Lewis Weed in 2014. He was month.
Lewis Weed.
Lewis. I've got a speech impediment, so I can't say my W's. I mean my R's. So Lewis Reed.
Oh, Reed. Yeah. Okay.
2014. He was 1 month one month younger than Anthony. What's his second name?
Anton Hackford.
Him. Yeah. He was 1 month younger than him.
How did you know that?
Because I was at the club when he made his debut.
Oh, you were there. Oh, okay. Makes sense.
And do you know the three recent managers for Sheffield United?
Who's the manager now? Chris Wilder.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? It's some long name. something.
H.
Yeah, heck something.
Paul Heckenbaum.
Heckenbaum, or is it Heckenbottom? Heckenbottom. Heckenbottom. I was actually going to say that as well, bro.
And do you know who was before Paul Heckenbottom?
Heckenbottom. Was it Chris Wilder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was Chris Wilder.
The last question was, do you know who got? Do you know how many points they got last season when they got relegated?
I don't know that. 20.
16.
Oh, for the chance, bro.
They needed Ethan, man.
But the last topic was actually about morning dilemmas. What was everyone's morning dilemma? We'll start around the table. Ethan, what's your morning dilemma?
Morning dilemma.
Yeah, well, you were the only person who was early this morning, so you probably didn't even have one. These three better all have a good story.
I was gonna leave innit, and then my mum told me to wash the dishes. So.
What about you, Ethan? Did you have a morning dilemma?
Yeah, a couple actually. So I got out of the shower. And then my girlfriend was like, oh, well, I should have gone in the shower first because I take longer. So I was like, right, okay, well, hurry up then. So she took about 20 minutes, as you do. And then we left, and then I was waiting for the bus, and it was about 10 minutes late.
Can I just say something? She was like, this is my morning dilemma.
And then she was like, oh, can we get a meal deal? I was like, well, I've not really got time. So we went and got a meal deal anyway, like I told you at the very beginning of the podcast, which feels like ages ago.
Yeah, 2 hours ago.
And yeah, so that was my morning dilemma. It was an entertaining morning for sure.
You were actually early on, like these two.
I know. I was somehow here before anyone else, but my dilemma was my dilemma was the worst.
No, you put in the effort to get here.
I did put in the effort to get here. I want to hear what Carlos's dilemma was because he was 20 minutes late.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
If your girlfriend's shower 20 minutes and that's long, how long was your shower?
I was thinking the same
bro, thing. 20 minutes is a long time.
Nah, bro, I'm in the shower for time.
Yeah, I think that's like
I'm trying not to waste water, like 15 minutes.
Okay, that's not that long.
Okay, okay. So she got five
minutes. I think 20, 25 minutes, you're pushing it.
No, it depends. Because I like taking showers when I'm drunk.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll skip past
that. I want to hear about Carlos's dilemma because he was 20 minutes late.
Oh no, 30 minutes late.
Yeah, well, I was just recovering.
From what? Yeah, from what? What were you recovering from?
You know, I got a bus at 7 a.m. back from Birmingham, and you know, unfortunately, there's a train cancellation, and that's why.
Well, hang on, this is Cap, because when did you go to Birmingham? I went to your house yesterday.
Last night.
Wait, but you went on a night out last night. Don't lie. Yeah, exactly. You went on a night out.
Carlos, how's that head feeling, bro?
It's all right. Having to listen to your story probably made it worse.
Wait, did you get some drinks in?
Nah, I didn't drink.
So why were you late?
I got stopped by. I told you I got stopped by a missionary, and I just too polite. So okay,
what did they say to you?
What church were they from?
Oh, I don't remember. They weren't from First Love.
Okay.
They were from like. I think, do you know the Asian one? By Decathlon.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're from there.
Did you tell them that you had a hangover?
I just told them. I just listened to them, I can't lie. I was just like, okay, cheers, thank you, I've got somewhere to be, sorry.
Have you still got that hangover?
No, I'm not hungover.
Have you had your paracetamol this morning?
No, I'm not hungover. No, I'm just quiet.
Jimmy, what's your morning dilemma?
My dilemma. I've got a couple. Cool. My morning dilemma is slept at 5 a.m. because I was with my friends talking about like church and the Bible and stuff like that, and I didn't set a timer, so God just woke me up and somehow I'm here. But I'm kind of like disappointed because I had to get out of bed, quick shower, boom boom boom, do all these things, and like I didn't even pray or anything. Yeah, so I was a bit upset with myself. Yeah.
Well, I didn't have a morning dilemma because I went to bed at about 1 a.m. After watching Daredevil. Woke up for 9, took a shower, had breakfast, got a coffee, came here, organised. You three get organised.
After watching what?
Daredevil.
What's that about?
It's about a blind lawyer who fights crime.
Oh, fair.
Yeah, and he's actually Catholic, so he's religious. He's not actually a devil.
That's a wrap for today's episode of Beyond the Bench. A big thank you for Ethan sharing his insights and personal journey with us.